We've been in a series called Intentional Love. So if you're a guest, tune back in. We have been talking about love since really the beginning of the year. And we're really talking about love in the sense that we want to be very intentional about it. We even said that what would it be like if we took on a resolution as a church, even though it's individual, if we did it together, wouldn't it be incredible if over the next year in 2016, if we kicked up thinking about love in all of our relationships, whether you're married or single and in high school or middle school or you're 90, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life station, would it be amazing? What would it be like in your life if over this next year, if you were very, very intentional about love? And we've been talking about this. So if you're a guest here, we're going to try to catch you up to speed a little bit. But the reason why we're doing this series is because every single one of us has this love tank, if you will. And we're fueled by love in our lives. And we need to have that tank filled up in our lives. And so I don't know where you stand on the empty to full in terms of your own individual life, whether you're single or married or even in high school. But part of this series is to consider the people around you and to be a part of moving this needle. And so the people around us experience love. And we want to do it very, very intentional. The verse that we've looked at over this series has been found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to look at one word to focus on today, because here's what Paul says. The goal of our instruction, or the goal of our command, or the goal of our faith, some translations say, is, say with me, church, is love. In other words, the motivation, the word goal is a really important word, because the motivation for you in faith, the motivation for you in what God is instructing you, the motivation for you in your relationships ought to be love. And so that's why we started out this year, because we want to be intentional. We want to be motivated this year to raise the bar in the way we love the people that God has placed in our lives. I've said this from the very beginning. This is really not a series for married couples. There's a lot here for married couples, but this is true for singles. This is true if you're in middle school or high school. This is true for every age group. And so we've been talking about love. We said this, that love is to intentionally will someone good. That if you want to intentionally love people, love according to what Jesus has to say in the Bible, love according to this Greek word called agape, which, by the way, as I mentioned, that Jesus and the writers of the New Testament grabbed a hold of that word and pumped meaning into it. It wasn't used much in antiquity. And they said in Scripture, as you read through the New Testament, that love really means that you intentionally will someone good. Now, let me just go a little step further on this, because I think it might be helpful for us to think this through a little bit more. So let me get practical even more so on this definition. Love then means that we enter into the experience and the burdens of other people. What I know about our church family and out of our campuses is that this week alone, we've had people who have had babies born. That's exciting. And we've had people who have lost family members. That's difficult. And you see, the reality is that love enters into the experience and the burdens of another person. That's practically what we're trying to do here, that as you go through life, as you and I go through this year, what we hope to do in this series throughout the entire year is that we enter into the experience of somebody else and we enter into the burdens of somebody else. But there's something that's really important for us to understand, that there is a difference between empathy and sympathy. When I was going to college, you know, I was studying to be a pastor, and I was going through all my classes and all that, and I began thinking, you know, as a pastor, I'm probably gonna have to talk to people, like in the church, you know? And so I thought, you know, maybe I should take a counseling course. And so I did. And in fact, I almost minored in counseling. I took so many classes. I was so fascinated by it because I love being with people. And so in the classes that I took, it was very evident that they were teaching us in class that there is a big difference between empathizing with somebody and sympathizing with somebody. Let me describe it for you. When you empathize with somebody is that you want to try to identify with their feelings. You want to place yourself at some level in their shoes. You want to understand what they're feeling, even though you may not understand because you're not going through what they're going through, but you work really, really hard at trying to understand what's going on in their lives. Sympathizing, on the other hand, can be quite dangerous. in that sympathizing means that you actually take on their emotions. You actually take on their burdens. And all of a sudden, you feel overwhelmed as they do, and you experience it. Here's what they taught me in counseling class. It's kind of like if you're in a boat with a friend, and the friend falls out of the boat, is it smarter to throw them a life preserver, or is it better to get out of the boat and jump in the water? Turn to the person next to you in all of our campuses and just say which one you think it is. Just turn to the person next to you. Throw the life preserver or get out of the boat. Which one do you think it is? I can see some of you are like, I wouldn't even be in the boat. Well, to empathize means that when you're in the boat and somebody falls out, that you throw a life preserver because you want to understand what's going on in their life and you want to help them. To sympathize means you jump in the water, and if they can't swim, what happens? Both of you drown, right? And so as we're thinking about love and we want to be intentionally willing the good of somebody, the way we do that is to enter their experience and the burdens that they're having in their lives. So here's what we've been talking about if you've not been with us over these last 5 weeks. We've said, according to Gary Chapman and his book, which we're loosely following, he says that people experience love in one of five ways, that sometimes they experience love through words of affirmation, and we talked about that. We said that some of us experience love by words of affirmation, where when people say things to you that are affirming, that's how your love tank is filled up. We said sometimes it's quality time together, that when you spend quality time with an individual, that's how their tank is filled up in terms of love. In my own relationship with my wife, as an example, it's interesting that I can tell when my wife is struggling with something on the inside. I've known her for 30 years. We've been married for almost 30 years, and I can tell when something is going on in her life. And I'll ask the question, are you okay? And sometimes she'll say, well, I'm fine, but I know she's not fine. Anybody else understand? You know what I'm talking about, right? Guys, help me out here. Ladies, and so I'll say to you, are you sure you're fine? And what I've noticed is this, this is what I love about her. I've noticed that unless I'm willing to sit down and I'm willing to push away everything else and I spend quality time with her in that moment, then she'll be willing to open up. Because what she doesn't want to do is to talk to me on the run. And if you know me, I'm a person that's on the run, right? And so this has been very good for me to learn this about my wife. So quality time is how people experience love. Acts of service is how people experience love. When you do things for them, random things, things that they don't even ask of you, or even things that they do ask of you, we talked about that. We talked about giving or receiving gifts last week. We talked about the power of a gift. Doesn't have to be expensive, can be, but it doesn't have to be expensive. And we talked about how powerful that is. Today, we're going to talk about physical touch. And we're going to take back what has been stolen from us. We're going to talk about something that needs to be done more so in our relationships in the proper way. So much of it has been stolen from us in inappropriate ways. And we need more of the good and less of the bad. You agree with me, church? Right? And so we're going to talk about the good. I'll mention the bad, but we're going to talk about the good because it is a powerful thing that as we see in the New Testament today that God gives to us, Jesus himself used physical touch. It's staggering, actually, in the New Testament how many times Jesus touches people as he reaches out to them for a variety of different reasons. Now, Gary Chapman in his book writes five. I'm going to add one more, six. Because next week, don't miss it, we're going to talk about something that we can do for our community. Is it possible to love people that you don't even know? Church, is it? Absolutely. We're going to talk next week about experiencing love. We're going to talk about kingdom action. We're going to talk about, as a church, we could make a big difference in our community as a church by doing some amazing things. And so don't miss this next week. I'll explain it, but let me just give you a little teaser, if you will. Next week, we're going to talk about giving 100,000 hours of service to our community. We're going to talk about us as a church. If each of us is willing to give 2 hours a month to do something in our community, we could give over 100,000 hours to our community, free of charge, just simply because we love Jesus. What would that be like? And so come back next week. We have 700 some opportunities. We have a website we've created. We've been planning this for months and months and months. And I'm thinking, wouldn't this be great if not for our credit, not for Fairhaven's credit, not for your credit, but simply for the kingdom of God to say, we want to love our community. We want to be intentional and to love people that we may not even know and do something pretty incredible. But this week, let's talk about physical touch. What I'm going to do is ask you to take your Bibles or your devices, and typically, if you're a guest with us here today, typically what I do is I ask you to turn to a place in the Bible, and then we read it and we study it and then we apply it. And then we say, let's go out there and try it. Like, let's read it, let's understand it, let's apply it, and then go out there and try it. But as I began reading the New Testament, I began to be staggered by the amount of physical touch that Jesus uses. So what I'm going to do with you today is walk through the Gospels. You know what the Gospels are, right? Matthew, say it with me if you know me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And so with your Bibles nearby, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew, and then we're going to turn to Mark, and then we're going to turn to Mark, and then we're going to turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, okay? So just keep your Bibles, and so we're just going to kind of do a little speed read through the Gospels here today, and I'll just show you on four different occasions of how Jesus uses physical touch in very, very amazing ways. But before I do that, let me just talk to you for a few minutes about physical touch. Let's lay some foundation for us in terms of our understanding and then look at what Jesus did. Here's the first thing I would say about physical touch. Did you know that physical touch of some form is used in all societies as a social greeting? Every society in the world values physical touch. In America, we often use the hand, right? We reach out the hand and we shake a hand. A number of years ago, we invited a speaker to come from Burma. And many of you know I grew up in Asia, and so I understand the Asian mind, and I understand the American mind, I think. And so, you know, I went to the airport to pick him up. He's from Burma, and he got off the plane at the gate there. I think it was B-12 or something like that here in Dayton. And he walked off the airplane, and he looked Burmese. I mean, he had the Burmese outfit. He had the whole thing going on. It was incredible. And I walked up to him, because we're in America, and I walked up to him and did the very American thing. I reached out my hand to shake his hand like this, and he took my hand and turned it and held my hand. And on the inside, I'm flipping back and forth, Asian American, like. So he held my hand, and I thought, well, certainly he's going to let go of it. Well, he didn't let go of it, and so we walked through the airport holding hands, and I wasn't going to let go because I know my Asian part, that would be rude to let go. We went all the way down to the baggage claim. We stood there and waited for his bag the whole time holding hands together. I cannot tell you the number of looks I got at the Dayton airport that day. In every culture of the world, there are ways in which we use physical touch for greetings. Did you know that anthropologists say that you have an intimate space, which is about 1.5 feet away, then you have a personal space, which is about 4 feet away, then you have a social space, which is about 12 feet away, and then you have a public space where anybody can roam in there. And depending on what culture you're from, those numbers change a little bit, but we all have it. We all have had people who encroach on our personal space. You know what I'm talking about, right? Seinfeld has a great clip about personal space. Watch this.
Yeah.
It's us.
Come on up. So, Elaine, you don't have a problem with her, do you?
We adore Elaine.
She wants to say hi. She's with her new boyfriend.
What's he like?
He's nice. Bit of a close talker.
A what?
You'll see. Boy, I really had no idea that you felt this way about the Costanzas.
They're exhausting. It's like being in an asylum.
This is Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello. Hello, Aaron.
So how long are you folks in town?
Three more days, and then we're off to Paris.
Yeah. We're going with the Select Charter Group.
I love France. I was just there last year. In fact, you know, I still have an envelope full of French francs. I'll get them to you.
Oh, well, we can't take money.
Oh, no, it's a gift from us.
Oh, that is so nice, Aaron. Isn't he nice? So listen, has Jerry been showing you a good time?
No, I haven't.
You know, I have a friend who works at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. How'd you like a behind-the-scenes tour?
Really? You could do that?
Easily.
It wouldn't be any trouble?
Of course not.
When could it go?
How about right now?
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, let me get my coat.
Elaine, what do you say?
Well, I don't think so, Aaron. I have plans.
Oh. How about you, Jerry?
I'm sorry.
You sure? You can examine the artwork up close.
Maybe I'll try and catch up with you.
Oh, no, that'll happen.
All right, we're off.
Okay.
Bye.
We all have intimate space, we all have personal space and social space. See, physical touch of some form is used in every society. Do you know that in some societies, you kiss once, some you kiss twice, some you kiss three, sometimes you kiss four. Some societies, you take your knuckles and you put it on their forehead. Some societies, you take your shoulder and you put your shoulder next to their shoulder. There's all kinds of forms of physical touch around the world. Secondly, physical touch requires very little time. But it takes a lot of thought and a lot of effort. See, some of us grew up in homes and environments where we never saw physical touch. Some of us grew up in families where our parents never touched physically, publicly. We never saw that. And then some of us had great examples of people around us who loved each other, and it was very clear. So let me just try here in all of our locations, Springboro and Northmont, right here in Centerville. How many of you grew up with seeing people physically touching, like your parents and friends and all that? Can you just see your hand, just raise them up high? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you didn't see much of that in your homes when you grew up? Let me just see. All right, so my hand is raised on that one. I rarely saw, actually never saw my dad or my mom kiss each other or never saw them hold hands. And so that's what I grew up in. And so it's a little harder for me initially 30 years ago to bridge that in my life. And so it takes a little bit more effort for some of us who didn't grow up in those environments. In fact, some of us would say, well, I'm not the touchy, feely person, right? And yet we see that physical touch is really, really important, and it takes very little time. Thirdly, I'd say physical touch communicates emotional love. That when done properly, and of course we're talking about proper, we're talking about appropriate, it communicates a lot of emotional love. As I've been thinking about this for, you know, months, in the last couple of weeks, as I've been focused on this particular message, I thought to myself, you know, in my life, I've got two sons that hug me even to this day, and they're adults. Every single time I see them, every time I see them, they hug me. It's incredible. I love it. And then I remembered, as I was studying for this, that one of my sons, when he was a little boy, he would love to sit on my lap. He would love to sit on my lap, and he would always want to sit on my lap. He would always want me to hold him and put my arms around him. And as he's gotten older, we've drifted from that. And over the last 2 weeks, I have made a special effort, without him knowing it, don't tell him, where I'm hugging him as much as I can during the day, and already I can see a difference. It's amazing, because it communicates emotional love in life. Physical touch is a powerful communicator during crisis. Do you realize, whether you're married or single, that physical touch can be a powerful way to tell somebody, I'm with you. I don't fully understand, but I want you to know I'm with you. I'm really sorry that you're going through this. And I want you to know you're not alone. And I want you to know that somebody's gonna walk with you. Somebody's gonna journey with you. It's a powerful way to communicate during crisis. I had a couple in my office this last week, and it was great to be with them. And as we were talking, the guy that was in the office shared with me that his brother had taken his life a year ago. And he got very emotional about it. His wife put her arm around him, and I actually got up out of my chair and went over and I put my arm on his back because I could relate. I think I mentioned to you that last fall, my own brother took his own life. And there was a connection that was there. There was a sense in which we understood without one word being said. There was a lot that was understood because it communicated something during that crisis. See, physical touch is also essential in communicating marital love. If you're married, may I say to you guys and ladies, make sure that you work hard at affirming each other with physical touch. 14 years ago, I remember the spot. It was on the Centerville campus. I could take you to the very location 14 years ago when my wife and I were walking down the hallway and she stopped and she looked at me and she said, "Do you realize that you never hold my hand anymore?" I haven't forgotten that. 14 years ago, and from that point, I got the message. And I look for her hand every chance I get to grab her hand because that's important for her, it's important for me, it's important for the marital love in our relationship. Now I'll tell you, I hate in the winter when we get into bed and she takes her foot and puts it between my legs. It's like sleeping with an ice bag. Anybody else know what I'm talking about right there? Yeah? So I don't know about that one, but physical touch can make or break any relationship. See, what we need is more of the right kind of touch, not the wrong kind of touch. And I'm sure that many of us in this room and in all of our campuses have experienced some kind of touch that was inappropriate. And for that, I'm deeply sorry. God can bring great healing in your life. But what we need to remember as the church is that we can make relationships. We can, with the right kind of physical touch, make a relationship. If you're single, to your friends, high school, married, to your grandkids, to your kids, it is powerful. And here's why. Because the body was made for touching. Do you realize that you could take your index finger and you could ask a person to close their eyes and if you only had to touch their forearm, they would recognize it. You could close your eyes and somebody could take their forefinger and touch your nose and you'd feel it because your body is covered with receptors. God created you that way. Do you realize that many people suffer from what psychologists call skin hunger, where no one is touching you appropriately? Even a friend with an arm around or an arm on the shoulder or an arm on the forearm, a simple touch. Psychologists say that people who suffer from skin hunger are people who have less happiness, more loneliness, experience greater depression and stress, worse health, less social support, lower relationship satisfaction, mood swings, anxiety disorder, a condition that impairs the ability to express and interpret emotion, fearful avoidance or attachment issues. It's huge. You see, God created us. He created our bodies. Our bodies were made for touching. And that's, so to touch a body is to touch the very person at their soul. Do you know that if you went to a prison and you went to the place where prisoners were isolated, put them in the hole, when they're there for weeks and months and years, they go crazy. You know why? Because we were designed for relationship. We were designed for connection. We were designed for physical touch. And when they don't have it, it impacts them greatly. And so as we begin to look in the New Testament, let's start with this as our foundation here. Let's redeem physical touch back to what God intended. Let's do more of the right kind, of the appropriate kind of touching that we see in the New Testament. Because when I look through the New Testament, I see all kinds of ways that Jesus touched. Let me show them to you, and then we'll start to look in our Bibles here so we can go through the New Testament. First of all, Jesus used touch for reassurance. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 17. You can read the whole story on your own, but let me just read a couple of verses, verses 6 and 7. As Jesus is with a couple of his disciples, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God the Father, God Almighty, Jehovah God, begins to speak to his son, Jesus, who is the God-man. And as he's talking to him in front of his disciples, they're frightened because they don't really know what's going on. So that's what we'll see here. When the disciples heard this, verse 6, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. He touched them. He said, "Get up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Jesus uses physical touch to assure and reassure the disciples, the ones that had been following him, the ones that knew him, and yet he saw them experience fear and trembling in their lives. They fell down to the ground, and you can just in your mind imagine that he reached down, I don't know, maybe touched them on the head, maybe on the shoulder, maybe on the back. And the touch spoke volumes. And then Jesus spoke. Get up. Don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. We're going to go through this together. It's going to be fine. You see, physical touch has the power to empower. When you touch your son, when you touch your daughter, when you touch a friend, you give them great reassurance. When you embrace somebody, you give them assurance. You give them a sense of, hey, I'm with you, and you're going to be fine, and you empower them in your life. I love the movie 42. Anybody see the movie with Jackie Robinson? A great story on baseball. And when I saw the movie, there was one clip in there that was absolutely phenomenal, one clip that was so inspiring. It's the moment in Cincinnati, by the way, true story, where Jackie Robinson is in the stadium and people are hurling all kinds of comments and saying all kinds of statements. And Pee Wee Reese, one of the players that was on the team with him, comes around him, puts his arm around him, and then thanks Jackie Robinson for allowing him to be his friend. And then he explains why. Watch the clip.
All we got's right here. Thank you, Jack.
What are you thanking me for?
I got family up there from Louisville. I need them to know. I need them to know who I am.
Hey, number one! You playing ball or socializing?
Playing ball, huh?
Play ball!
Playing ball. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
What a great statement. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42 and they won't tell us apart. What a physical touch of reassuring in that moment of their lives. Jesus also used touch for healing. Healing. As he reached out his hand, and many times in the New Testament we see that. So let's go from Matthew. Let's go to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Mark chapter 1. So the next book over, turn to your right. Mark chapter 1, drop down to verse 40. There's a dramatic scene here in Mark chapter 1 where Jesus encounters these guys that are called lepers. And if you've been in church for any length of time, you know that leprosy was a huge problem for the individuals that had it, not only because of the disease, but because they were called unclean. In the Old Testament, there was a law that said you couldn't touch them, because if you touched them, then you were unclean, you were defiled. And in fact, lepers had to holler, unclean, unclean, so that no one would come around them. And if the wind was blowing, they actually had to stand further away because they even felt like maybe the wind could blow some of this uncleanness on them. Rabbis in the first century would actually pick stones up if the lepers got too close, and they would throw stones at the lepers to warn them, you need to back off, you're getting too close. But not this rabbi, not this Jesus. Here's what he does. A man with leprosy came to him, Jesus, and begged him on his knees, if you're willing to make me, you can make me clean. And Jesus was indignant. Was he indignant because a man of leprosy came up to him? Absolutely not. He was indignant because he saw the pain in this man's life, and he saw how he was pushed away and pushed away, and he had no physical touch in his life. No one would touch him. And this is what Jesus does. He, Jesus, reached out his hand and touched the man. He touched him. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I mean, what an amazing, dramatic scene where Jesus could have just said, be healed. He could have stood back like the other rabbis and said, be healed. Your leprosy is gone. go and tell all your friends. But Jesus didn't do that. The first thing he did is he reaches out his hand and he touches him. And then he speaks and says, you're clean, be healed. What a powerful moment. In fact, you could read through scripture and you could see that Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever. Jesus touched a 12-year-old girl who was deathly ill. Two men were blind in Capernaum. There was a deaf mute in Jerusalem and no one would touch him. There was a blind man in Bethsaida. There was a woman who couldn't stand straight and Jesus touched her. There was a blind man in Jerusalem and two blind men near Jericho. And you can read on and on throughout scripture how Jesus touched people and they experienced healing, because touch is for healing. We sort of need to pause right here and remember that no one is untouchable to God. You know, there's so many people that come to church and they wonder if God really could love them, if God really could change them. After all, you know your life, and I don't know if God could do this or not. And the great news about this story about physical touch is that Jesus not only touched him physically, but he said through the touch that I'll touch anybody. Anyone can be under the touch of God. See, no one is untouchable to God. It's no wonder that the Bible says that God is love, because he so intentionally sent his son to die for you and I that you can be brought into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and God can touch you in your life physically and emotionally and spiritually in your life. See, a touch for healing, physical touch, has healing power, and in this case, it was literal. How many of you know that when your son is going through something, a hand on his hand can bring healing? How many of you know that when your spouse is going through something, you can put your arm around them, and that could be a touch of healing, as they're maybe struggling with something and you can't solve it for them, but you can be there, and that touch could bring healing? How many of you know that a friend simply might need your touch because it brings tremendous healing? Jesus also touched for affirmation. Do you know that in the first century, the people in society that were supposed to be there and not heard and kept out of the way were the children? Very unlike our culture here, right? I mean, we spend millions of dollars here at Fairhaven Church because we love kids. We spend all kinds of money and effort because we think your kids are important. We think your grandkids are important. We think your friends' kids are important. We do all kinds of things. Not in the first century. In the first century, kids were off to the side. They were not to be heard. They were not to be in the way. They were kept away. And we don't see that with Jesus, because he was affirming even those. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. You know what a blessing is, don't you? A blessing is an affirmation. You know what? I think you're pretty awesome. You know what? I believe you can do that project. You know, son, you're going to pass that test. You know, young lady, you're so pretty, and I know you're going to do great things in your life. See, a touch can be so affirming. Do you realize that in Scripture, often we see people laying hands on other people? And they did that because they wanted to agree together in prayer, and they did that because, as spiritual beings, God gives us the opportunity to be conduits to other people through the laying of hands. We've lost that because we're so backing away from this, and yet we see that right here. You see, Jesus touched for affirmation because physical touch gives value. It gives value to the person who receives it. It gives value to the person who does it. It's amazing when that happens. Jesus also touched for apology. Did you know that? Matthew, Mark, now let's go to Luke, okay? Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. In Luke chapter 22, we see another very dramatic scene there. You know it if you know anything at all about what happened to Jesus in the very last days of his life. This is what we see in Luke chapter 22. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them, John actually tells us it's Peter. We all know that, right? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear, but, huge word, but Jesus answered, none of this, or stop that, or we're not going to do this, or no, 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 there's a better way. None of this. And then he touched the man's ear and healed him. I guess you could say this is a touch of healing, but it's much more than that, isn't it? It's a touch of apology to say, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We're not going to be a part of that. As Jesus touches this man's ear, no, 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 we didn't mean to do that. Peter, I don't think we want to be a part of that. None of this. We also see it in John. If you want, you can turn with me to John. John chapter 20, the next book to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20, one verse, verse 27. You might want to highlight it in your Bibles. Here's what Jesus does to a man who was doubting, who a man that knew Jesus and doubted everything that was going on. And then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger right here. Put your finger right here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side right over here. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus used physical touch to allow Thomas to experience faith and apology in his life. You see, physical touch can say this, none of this. No, 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 we're not going to argue. Let's stop. We're not going to go there. None of this. Or physical touch can say, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, honey. I don't want to say that. Help me. I won't do that again. To a friend of yours, you know what? I should have called you. I should have called you. I'm really sorry. Just a hand, a physical touch. See, physical touch can restore relationships. We see that all through Scripture. We see that physical touch is such an important thing for us. And some of us, again, would say, well, you know what? I'm not that kind of a person. I struggle with physical touch. Well, here's what needs to be remembered because of our definition of love. When it comes to physical touch is not about my comfort. It's not about your comfort. It's about the good of the others. Do you know there are some of us here in this room, North Bonnet Springboro, where the tank in your life is filled with physical touch? And if you're that person, the people around you should know that the way that you can experience intentional love is through physical touch. Let's redeem back and do the right thing and do less of the wrong. Are you with me? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you've given us these bodies, and we thank you that when we stop and really think about it, it's absolutely amazing that physical touch is really, really important. When done rightly and when done appropriately, it can bring so much change. We thank you, Father, that we can even at times feel the very touch of God in our lives, spiritually, emotionally, and I pray that you would help us in all of our relationships, that we would be intentional, that we would use physical touch in appropriate ways to bring honor to the relationships that we have. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.